Reddit did to do and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Wednesday, June 17th. I got something big happened right before we went live. Let me pull exactly the wording up. So the NCAA Division I Council approved a football season model that begins on first game on September 5th. Summer access activities July 13th and adds meetings and walkthroughs on July 24th. Preseason practice will begin August 7th. So it looks like the timeline, I think that's the exact timeline. I don't think there's any games before that September 5th date. Everything's pushed back a little bit later as far as on-campus activities go. But this is a good model to move forward with football season happening. So,
and that, you mentioned September 5th. That's the first game.
That is the first game. So I guess if there's Thursday games, which there usually are, that opening weekend, Thursday and Friday games, I guess some action. Those move back. But no, I mean, like, the Chick-fil-A kickoff has a Thursday and Friday slate, don't they? Saturday slate, Friday, Saturday slate. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how all those will work. I'm sure we'll hear more going forward as this was just approved minutes ago. So, but that's good news. We're moving forward with football.
We're on our way.
That doesn't mean fans, and we're going to talk about that. That doesn't necessarily mean fans in the stands or all fans in the stands. But it looks like we're going to at least get to watch college football. And that's good news. Like, I'll take that every day.
Oh, 100%.
We've kind of talked about the people that are like, if there can't be fans there, I don't want to watch. No, I would rather watch at home than not watch at all.
Yeah, you do that. Don't watch.
That's fine. You don't have to watch, but I would like to watch.
I would love to watch.
Don't ruin it for everybody. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Don't ruin it for everybody. We've got a great show for you guys. We're talking about the latest commitment to Tennessee. He's a big tight end. He's from Savannah, Tennessee?
Savannah, yeah.
It's officially official. AJ Artis was hired as a strength coach. It's kind of been it was assumed it was going to be that way, but it's officially official, our favorite around here. So, exciting stuff there as the Vols will look to improve that strength and conditioning program that's looked like it's gotten better since Jerry Pruitt's been on campus. Fans in the stadium, like I said, we're about to talk about this because I think it's still very much up in the air. I think it's looking one way or the other, but I think it's very much up in the air.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows for sure.
No, and you shouldn't. You shouldn't make a decision right now. Yeah. You don't have to.
Yeah. I think you plan for having as many fans as you can, and then if you have to go back on that, then you go back on it.
Exactly. Basketballs are back on campus. It's both teams. We'll talk more about that. College Football Hall of Fame. A couple Tennessee Vols are going to get a chance to be inducted. We'll talk about those. We've got some questions. If you have any questions that you haven't asked yet, you want to ask, want to talk about, drop them in the I'm on YouTube and Twitter. Drop them there. If they're what we're talking about now, we'll get immediately to them. If they're not necessarily relative to what we're talking about, hang on. We will answer those, I promise. Just may not answer them immediately. So hang on in the show. Before Landon tells you about our sponsors, go like, retweet, share, whatever platform you're on. Do that right now. Follow More Important Issues on Twitter, Facebook, and Volunteer Roadshow on Twitter and Facebook as well. And if you're on our YouTube channel, go ahead and subscribe. Help us out there. We appreciate you all. Landon's got some people to tell you about that make this show possible.
Yeah, before I do that, I want to mention that I'm on Facebook as well. Caleb's on YouTube and Twitter, and I'm watching the Facebook Live. So if you have any of those questions, feel free to drop them. Good to have everybody.
Yeah, it is.
Even if you're Alabama, Georgia, Florida fan, whatever you are, if you're cheering for New Mexico State, hey, glad to have you. So go check out our sponsors, Hound Dogs and Tennessee Tap House. Really appreciate them making the show possible. Go check them out. Go get some brews. Actually, probably go get some Tennessee apparel first, yeah, and then go get some brews.
Exactly.
Maybe not the other way around. Go do that.
Also, Hound Dogs, we normally do a giveaway if you come to the show every week. Stay tuned. We're going to be doing giveaways later on, closer to football season, bigger giveaways. So make sure you go to volunteerroadshow.com, create an account. That'll enter your name in a drawing for every episode and those bigger drawings that are going to happen closer to the football season.
Absolutely. I'm ready for it.
Do it. Let's get right into it. Hudson Wolf.
I do miss your drum rolls, though.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm excited to get bigger and better drum rolls as the season
approaches. Yeah, we should actually get a drum.
We should. That would be exciting. I'm sure I could just download a sound, but it would be more exciting to have a snare drum next to me.
That's true.
But let's jump right into it. Hudson Wolf Big commitment from Savannah, Tennessee. Depending on what website you look at, he's the number one tight end in the nation, the number six player in the state of Tennessee. He 247 is not very far behind. He's top 10, number one tight end, or number one, top 10 tight end in the country. Top five player in the state. You have it pulled up. Top five player in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, so I think Rivals has him as the number one player, and then the composite has him as the number five player.
Okay, so it's not very far off. So just depending on where you look, but he is ranked number one tight end in the country somewhere. This is a big get for Tennessee. We talked about how there was already a tight end in this class, but you mentioned how I don't think, you know, you saw the two tight end sets, and you're getting, I mean, you make room for this guy if he wants to commit.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you look at last class, your top targets, you didn't get them.
Right.
You know, that's fact. Eric Gilbert, Darnell Washington went to other places. You get your number one target in this, number one tight end target in this 2021 class with Hudson Wolf. And you add him with a guy who earned his fourth star, Miles Campbell. That's a good duo. You saw a lot of Dominique Wood Anderson and Austin Pope on the field at the same time. You know, they want to run some two tight set, maybe one guy's an H-back or something like that, but they want to utilize tight ends. That's what Jim Chaney does, and this is a perfect guy to do it. 6'6", 240, guy that can block, run, catch, do it all for you. He can play all four downs if you want him to.
Right. He's definitely a guy that would his team uses him as a tight end, which we talked about is kind of rare, but they also he's catching the ball quite a bit. He has 12 touchdowns in his junior season, and a lot of people, I believe, are questioning his speed and quickness. I'm sure that's something he'll look to improve on. His hands don't lack, and his athleticism, though, do not lack at all. You talked about how he's a big body. He's going to be used in the blocking game. I'm sure it's going to be a lot different blocking SEC linebackers, and he'll be asked to block a lot of guys that put their hand in the ground as well. And I'm sure that'll be different. I'm sure that'll be a part of his game that has to improve. But he's going to be a mismatch. And he's got somebody commented on our YouTube video and said he's not a tight end that catches the ball. If a tight end that doesn't catch the ball catches 12 touchdowns, what does a tight end that doesn't catch the ball look
like? Yeah, I think like his first like eight plays on his highlight tape is him catching touchdowns.
Yeah, and the very first one is an amazing play that,
yeah,
that he has to full extension dive for. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about a 6'6 guy who's full extension diving. That's a long way to go to catch that ball, and makes the catch, and I believe it's a touchdown as well.
It's a lot of body to get control of.
It is. He's an impressive get. Whatever website you're looking at, 247 Rivals, whatever it may be, I mean, you can't not admit that this dude's a stout player.
Yeah, and he's a kid that could be like a Keyshawn Lawrence was last class, a guy that gets this in-state crop kind of rolling. You got Keyshawn Lawrence in the summer last year, and that kind of steamrolled or snowballed all of the Whitehaven trio and the kids from Briarcrest. You know, you had a lot of in-state prospects. So you have some that Tennessee would like to get in with Junior Colson already committed to Michigan. They'd like to try to get back in that one. Dedrick Pennington eliminated Tennessee with his, I think, top five or six. They'd like to get back in there, especially at offensive lineman. Jamarian Gooch at King's Academy, they'd like to get in with him. And then William Parker is kind of a big-time player that they're in with. I forget where he's out of. Offensive lineman. I mentioned three offensive linemen right there. That's where they want to get into, especially when you have this. You have 24 commits in this class.
Right.
You only have one offensive lineman so far. Yeah, want to add more than that, probably three or four. So those are three guys that maybe Tennessee looks to get in with, and maybe Hudson Wolf is – hopefully helps him out. Out of Hardin County in Savannah, Tennessee, current ball, Latrell Bumpus is, yep, from Hardin County. So,
and you mentioned some guys. You mentioned some guys we're going for. There was also some guys that saw a bump in their ratings today. And
yeah.
I haven't checked the team rankings today. Tennessee's actually now back at number two. They do have more commitments than Clemson, but I'm sure the bump helped. Help the rating, the average and the overall rating move up. So
yeah, Caden Salter got his four star on Rivals, and then on 247 he went from the number 90 overall player in the country to number 62.
Which, like, what do you? I just don't understand. What are you rating right now?
I don't understand how Rivals has him at they had him as a 3-star. They gave him his 4-star, and then on 247 he's close to being a 5-star.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I'm not asking about the differentiate. I understand that different sites have them different, and
right.
I feel like too a lot of times when sites are posting them as different ratings, I feel like it's got the bias of wanting to be right has to get in the way. Like, I'm not, how often is 247 going to let Rivals, and I'm not talking about the best of the best kids that you undoubtedly are going to be 5-stars. I'm talking about the kids that are like those borderline ones. You're like, we're going to keep them rated here, so maybe we'll be right. And we can, you know, we can claim ourselves more. I'm sure there's got to be bias getting in the way. But how does he move up? It was just, 30 spots?
Who,
Caden Salter?
Yeah.
Which isn't as drastic as some of the ones a month ago, but how are you moving up 30 spots right now when no camps are happening? Obviously no games are happening. What are you evaluating?
I have no clue.
And are you just that bad at evaluating earlier? I don't understand.
And then Miles Campbell gets his 4-star on 247. So Tennessee has 2 4-star tight end commits right now.
Yeah. Is he still 3-star on Rivals?
Yeah, I think so. But they have him listed as the number 10 tight end. They also have Hudson Wolf as like the number 17 tight end. Yeah. So, yeah.
Who knows?
It's like they... If one person has them high, the other side has to have them low.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
I feel like they're battling for who's right and who's wrong.
Yeah.
I just pulled up Miles Campbell. He's still 3-star composite, so I'm sure they'll – which I don't know how often Rivals is doing – 247 is just randomly updating kids, so I don't know how often 247 is – or Rivals is, sorry. So, I mean, he could – who knows? He could move up tomorrow. I don't know.
Maybe.
No clue.
You never know.
Never know.
Because didn't they just do like a – like a re-rank like a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I think it's been close to a month, maybe just 2 weeks.
But still, no one's done anything.
Yeah, you did this big, like you said, a big re-rank, claiming to go and watch a bunch of film and have a chance to really dive into all this. But now you're doing another, rank?
They re-watched it.
They re-evaluated their evaluations.
So it was like 1998, we rewatched it, and then it's like us going back and rewatching it.
Exactly.
And to make sure we didn't miss anything.
Exactly. There's also some questions about, I guess since we're talking about recruiting, there's also some questions about some decommitments. You got anything on that front?
I do have some questions about that.
It's been a big topic this week, too.
So Ethan, he's got a lot of numbers next to it. He says, so we might get an answer before the show, but what do you make of this tweet? Any predictions on who it might be? It's Jake Dawson, which I think is a grad assistant for the defense at Tennessee. And it said, here we go, and it's like emojis covering his face. I assume since he's a defensive guy, I would like to think that it's a defensive commitment.
Right.
Hopefully
our coaches are not tweeting about decommitments. We made fun of Florida for it.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I understand he's a grad assistant.
Learn from others.
Yeah, let's not do that. That's my hope. So, like you said, if it's anything, hopefully it's a commitment, not a decommitment. I know there's been some questions both with Terrence Lewis and Kamar Wilcoxon in terms of where they stand. I can't remember who it is said they were talking with Florida, but they're still committed to Tennessee. Was it Lewis?
Kamar.
It was Kamar Wilcoxon. Yeah. We've been saying it the whole time. There's going to be guys move around. And Kamar Wilcoxon's a guy he was one of the early guys in that class that started committing in March and April.
Mm-hmm.
So he is kind of potentially a glue guy, but hopefully he's not. If he does decommit, hopefully it doesn't turn others away.
Well, he mentioned something about 4th of July. I have something coming for you. And he said Tennessee, 4th of July. I have something coming for you.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully it's not a bad thing.
So the question about that is from VFLGBO68. Said Kamar said something about 4th of July. If it's a commitment, who do you think it'll be?
You couldn't really do one more number, bro. Like, 68 your number?
He's trying to keep people on their toes. All
exactly.
But I think it has to be a defensive guy. Apparently we're trending for 5-star outside linebacker, Samel Munden. Tyrion,
huge get.
Yeah, Tyrion Arnold is another guy. He actually got an offer from Tennessee basketball today.
Yeah, I saw that.
So dual sport athlete. I love the dual sport athlete thing.
Right.
Because if if he doesn't help, like, the football program, he's helping the basketball program. He's right. coming here to play something and help us in something.
Exactly.
So I do like that. I don't know how good he actually is in basketball. Apparently, he won a state title, so apparently pretty good, I guess. He wears right. number one. Doesn't your best player always wear number one?
In basketball or football?
Basketball.
I don't know. Never heard that.
I know 23, but I mean, yeah. usually if you're number one, you're one of the best.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah.
You'd think. I feel like, what happened to the good old days of double zero? That used to be such a good basketball number.
Like a big guy wearing double zero?
Just anybody wearing double zero.
I feel like a little guy, if he's wearing zero, that's, yeah.
But I feel like double zero used to be a popular number and just not anymore. I don't know.
I had like when we played junior pro, yeah. I had like the fattest number.
Yeah, those numbers were like took up the entire.
Yeah, well, like just like I was number 51.
Oh, were you? Oh, yeah. Those were the most random numbers. Like yeah, I always had a double digit number that was over like 20. Yeah. Like it was super random.
Like why am I 51?
Yeah, who knows.
Yeah, very weird. But yeah, so I would say those two guys would make some sense. I know Trevali Price did which he's a 4-star. Defensive end out of North Carolina. He did a similar to what Kamen Marley did, kind of came to Tennessee and just FaceTimed, like a virtual tour, pretty much. They just kind of told him where to go, I guess.
Very weird.
So he did that and saw the campus and stuff. So maybe it's him. You know, yeah. I would say those three guys would be my bet. I don't know which one. I don't think anybody really does besides
maybe
Tennessee staff. Maybe Kamar knows. I don't know.
July 4th, right?
July 4th, yeah. Keep your eyes out.
There you go. That's quite the day to drop some news when most people will be on the lake, not near their phone, or at least just somewhere not near their phone. It's quite the day to drop the news.
Yeah, I'm going to be like 8 beers in and have to tweet something out.
Exactly.
Might get weird.
Get real weird.
Yeah.
Anything else for recruiting? I know there's been some stuff, but not too much going on.
Yeah, not a whole lot. I am wearing my recruiting shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is actual in a recruiting shirt, but somebody said it was, so it is now.
Was it Uncle Lou on YouTube? Because if it is, he just asked, where did you get that recruiting shirt? So, is it a running joke at this point?
I don't know. That's what it is. Anytime we get a recruit, I'm wearing the shirt. Uncle Lou, that's for you.
There you go.
I'd like to meet Uncle Lou. That sounds like like a Cousin Eddie.
That Uncle Lou kind of sounds like he's probably a master on the grill.
He probably has a beer or two on 4th of July.
Yeah. And he's probably on the grill the whole day. Yeah. I appreciate that. Uncle.
Yeah.
AJ Artis was official hired as the strength coach to replace Craig Fitzgerald. Took a little bit of a pay cut, but I think it's understandable. Fitzgerald was obviously highly sought after when Tennessee picked him up. Mm-hmm. A lot of people did not think he would leave the Texans. And then after just 2 years, goes to the New York Giants. Which I don't know. I feel like that's an interesting move to move to a professional team from a college team where you were handed the keys of the kingdom. But I mean, different people like different things. He may have missed the pro ranks. I'm sure he liked different aspects of it. It's got to be, especially as far as strength coach goes, it's got to be pretty different.
Yep.
But maybe
he just wanted to work out with Saquon Barkley.
I mean, I don't blame him. Huge legs. But AJ Artis he's been under Fitzgerald since he's been here in 2008, since he arrived in 2018. He does get a significant pay raise. That's good for him. He's going to be making $200,000, and his contract runs through May of 2022. So he's going to get some time to implement his own stuff, but it seems like, for the most part, the status quo is going to remain pretty much the same as it was under Fitzgerald. And I hope. It seems that the strength and conditioning program has improved drastically since Fitzgerald arrived, so I hope it doesn't. I don't think you need to change too much.
Yeah, you don't need to fix what's not broken.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, and I'm sure the concerns are somewhat fair. That was when you saw Butch Jones' program decline, is when you made that strength coach hire from within. But I think Fitzgerald believed in these guys. Obviously, Pruitt does now. I think he kind of brought these guys in to help run the show. You saw their faces a lot in terms of anytime they were in the weight room. You saw the guys that were not necessarily the head strength and conditioning coach working with these guys. So I think these guys had a little bit, not just AJ Artis, but had a lot of control of their own you know, how they did things. So I don't think this is too big of a shift.
No, I don't think it's like risky as people. Oh, you hired within, you know, that's scary. No, it's you're basically just keeping that train rolling. Right. Because this is probably the best our program has been since what, Johnny Long was our strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah,
I mean, it's got to be close.
Yeah,
especially the change from when Butch was here to now.
Right. I mean, that change was pretty drastic, and you saw it a lot, and you heard it a lot from players that were leaving. Pruitt would pretty much outright say it in press conferences. I mean, that was one of the biggest shifts was strength and conditioning, and then rehab. In terms of how players came back from injury was a big shift from Butch Jones to now. So I think Pruitt, it must be that Pruitt had some kind of hand in the strength and conditioning, and any head coach is going to, in terms of what he wants to see and what he wants to get out of it. So it's obvious that he liked what Craig Fitzgerald did, loved what Craig Fitzgerald did, and liked what AJR has brought to the team.
Yeah, and he's been kind of been given the reins since this whole thing started. So right. you knew he was in line to get it.
Right.
So, I mean, it's finally official. It's good. I think it's a good hire. I think the kids like him. He's young. He's energetic. So I think the program, the strength and conditioning program will be just fine.
Right. I agree.
Just fine. Bigger, stronger, faster.
Exactly. We must rebuild them. Fans in the stadium. Like we said, that's big news that the Division I Council announced that football is going to pretty much be on, as far as this regular season goes, pretty much be on the same schedule. Fans in the stadium, I think that's still just such a big question mark, and it's something that's probably going to change every day, every week. It's just so unknown right now. I think right now it's assumed you're going to probably operate max like 50% capacity is what it kind of seems
right.
that the consensus is. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's impossible that you have full stadiums, but it seems impossible that you have full. I hate to say that because I feel like I'm thinking negative, but it just doesn't make sense. You're seeing cases climb every day. I realize you're testing more people every day, but you're also seeing cases climb in terms of you've seen states and cities and counties reopening, and you're seeing cases climb, and you're not having these large gatherings like tailgating and big events where you would cram 102,000 people into a small area.
Yeah, I don't see how you do it full capacity, but Mayor Jacobs said he could see the stadium at 3/4 capacity.
And maybe that's the number they're kind of operating at right now. Maybe they're planning for full capacity. It would surprise me a lot.
How does, like, if your plan is, like, to not put full capacity in there because of, like, social distancing, how do you social distance with 70, what is that number? 76,
yeah,
841?
Yeah, I have that same question about half capacity. How do you require social distancing? Are you going to require a mask? I think that's probably a possibility when you put that many people in a stadium. How do you control, you know, going to the restrooms and going to the concession stands and ticket lines? And, I mean, everything involved with a football game, when you're talking about when you're walking side by side through the narrow walkways, you know, coming physically into the gates. I mean, how do you control all that? I just don't know.
Is it just going to be like, you know, come at your own risk?
And the only reason I don't know if that's a possibility is just because the liabilities assumed with that stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
That's it. I mean, because
I guess in reality, that's kind of what it is.
Right.
If you're coming to the game, like you're going there to.
Right, there's definitely a lot of liabilities involved every year, not just during a pandemic, right. But there's different liabilities that can also be avoided very easily that I think you take on when you say, come, you know, yeah, we're going to open it up, come at your own risk. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's just like how, if 3/4 full, I feel like why not full? If it's half full.
That's how I feel. If it's 3/4, you might as well just fill the whole damn thing.
If it's half full, I mean, look at the orange and white game. You're still walking through the crowds.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going in the gates with thousands of people. You're still waiting in line at the concession stand. You're still waiting in line at the bathroom. You still have a ton of people using the restroom, and those are, you know, points of contact. That's what scares me the most about it is I'm sure these conversations are happening every day. If not half full, you know, if half full, why not full? Or can we have half? Is half capacity even possible in terms of social distancing in a football stadium? Seems like no is the answer.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do it. I do know that Phil Fulmer mentioned that they have 90% renewals in their season ticket
holders. I think a lot of people are banking on the best right now and hoping they get to use those season tickets. I know we both have, and a lot of people that we've talked to have renewed those season tickets. And I'm hopeful. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it just seems unlikely, and I don't know if it seems – and I'm not willing to use the word safe. I think everybody has their own, you know, risk evaluations of this, because for a lot of people, it's perfectly safe. For a lot of people, it's not. And I think it just definitely depends on individual situations. But then you also have to take the responsibility of, I mean, if you're in those spot, you know, if you're in those places, a lot of places that you work are going to tell you, and it may be one of those things like you I don't know if they can't require you not to go to a game, but it's like, if you work in a large building, if you work in a building with older people, I mean, is it responsible to go to those games?
Yeah.
Because you're taking on a large risk, not just for you, but for your community. I think it's a lot of variables that are just going to be tough to lay out. And it's tough. I would love to be in Neyland. I'd like to think that I'm going to tailgate either way. Maybe they're backyard tailgates, but it's definitely a lot of questions you have to ask.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know my work, like I'm going to the beach. I can't come back into the office until I've been at home for 7 days after I get back.
Right, and hopefully that's, you know, I can't imagine where, you know, companies can do more than that. But, I mean, there's a lot of places, though, that you can't work from home. It's just not a possibility.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I think there's a lot of questions involved in that. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting what this looks like in the next – we're going to find out a lot. I'd imagine that those first couple weeks of July. And it's going to be interesting to see teams that are now on campus and together, how, if COVID cases rise within those teams, within those athletic facilities. It's going to be interesting to see, because that could change a lot of what's projected to go forward. I mean, you have the Dallas Cowboys that apparently had a lot of players test positive. We only heard Ezekiel Elliott's name. But that'll definitely – I think it's a lot of it. It's good. Again, it's great that the council said – we're going to plan going forward. That gives you a hope of at least a football season that starts on time. But I definitely think you find a lot more out in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yep. So we'll see.
For sure. Especially when they're like, when they're hitting and, you know, more practice, you know, more like more contact.
Well, I don't think there's any contact right now until
right.
At least July.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I guess not 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I guess you'll find out later on.
More.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting, because I don't even think all the players are there yet. I know the former kicker at Saldul, he is not going until like July.
Right. I think it's different with scholarships. Oh.
Yeah,
my bad. Hold with it. Oh, there we go. Yeah, they're different. I think they're bringing in different guys at different time, and I think it's mainly based on scholarships. Mm-hmm. I think pretty much everybody that's on scholarship is back in the facility. I guess also good news is you haven't had a significant number of cases within high school athletics, and they've been back for almost 3 weeks. This will be 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen a major spike. So I'd say that's a positive that I'm sure teams are looking at, because a lot of high schools have returned now.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly in rural communities, but
I'm excited for a high school. There's a lot of talent.
Yeah, there is.
In Knoxville, East Tennessee. So yeah, I'm excited. I'd like to go to more high school football games around this area.
Right. There's going to be a ton of talent, like you said, in this area. There's always been a ton of talent in this area. It's not necessarily the best talent, but as far as being competitive, there's always been quite a bit of talent in the Knoxville area, and you know, reaching all the way up to, you know, Johnson City and even Chattanooga. So
yeah,
East Tennessee's been a pretty good little spot for a lot of teams look at teams like a Division II school like Carson Newman. They've been successful for a long time, and I'm sure their most successful years they recruited the East Tennessee area pretty heavily.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're not going to bring in a ton of kids from all across the country. Yeah, you have, you know, a few, and you know, that are from Ohio, Michigan, and a few from Florida, but that's not your main source of talent.
I would say there's probably about 30% or 30-35% are probably around this East Tennessee area.
Yeah, I'd say you're getting a good little chunk, and then ETSU used to have a pretty solid program, and they've been pretty competitive since they've been back. So it's definitely been fun to see, and it's a lot of talent that's produced in the East Tennessee area. UTC is another one that's been, again, I mean, they're not a premier FCS program or anything, but they've been pretty solid. And I think UTC almost won the SoCon a couple years ago.
Okay.
I think so. I think they were competing with, what's the military school?
VMI?
Nah, they are in the SoCon, but it's not VMI, it's the other one. Mm, they're in Charleston. Can't remember. But I think they were competing with them. This is probably 3 years ago.
College of Charleston?
No. Oh, what is it? I'm about to look it up now. But I believe they were competing with them a couple years ago for the SoCon title. It's going to bother me.
I don't know.
The Citadel.
That's Citadel. It. Okay. Citadel.
You got anything else for fans of the state or high school football? I know we just kind of got off on that.
No, I think it's good news for, like, if the mayor says that, I feel like it's, I don't know if it's good news for season ticket holders. I feel like I'm more, like, inclined to think we have a better chance of being in the stadium.
Yeah, I hope he's not just speaking just to say it.
Right.
Because Knox County did, the health board did come into a decision. I can see if I can find the tweet. I don't know exactly what it means. They're no longer going to make their own decisions. In terms of reopening, they're following the state's decisions
okay.
now.
Okay, that makes
so,
sense.
So, originally
when first read that, I was like, okay.
originally, Knox County was kind of on their own deciding how the reopening phases mm-hmm. were working. Now they're following the Tennessee pledge for the reopening, for how to reopen. They said it's going to take 14 days to make the switch. I don't know exactly what that means, how the next 14 days look in Knox County.
Just no decisions whatsoever.
Yeah, so... yeah, I don't know. See, I don't know what that looks like because I know like Tennessee has had different I feel like it's probably gonna be similar. They've had different guidelines for the major counties in the state of Tennessee, the largest counties, like Shelby and Davidson and Hamilton and a few others. So I don't know what it's gonna look like. It's gonna be interesting. I'm sure we'll learn more about that in the next few days. But yeah, I don't know if that has a bearing on what could take place in the fall. And it looks like Vanderbilt, which is a good thing. I'm just kidding. They don't plan to return to campus anytime soon, which is interesting.
Mm.
Their football players, I don't think, are back. I'm pretty sure.
Dang, so they're going to be even worse? Man, it's going to be a tough year for Vandy.
Yeah. Let's see if I can find out if they've said.
I thought they are back.
Let's see if I can... I don't know. I thought Vanderbilt came. Their athletic director came out June 16th, so this week.
Okay.
Or no, that was an update. Here we go. So let me see if I can pull it up.
Voluntary.
Yeah, but everybody's technically voluntary right now.
Right.
So only football players can return right now. That was June 8th. So they were just
They came back last week.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. See, I thought they had said they did not plan to do it with the rest of the SEC, because Kentucky didn't come back June 8th. I think they came back this week, though. I think Kentucky did.
God, I hate Vanderbilt. Everything they do, like, just kick them out of the SEC. Like, if they can't do it with everybody else, just get them out.
Well, they did it with everybody else. Kentucky did, I don't think.
Well, get them out, too. They still like to.
Let's see if we can find Kentucky's. But I think everybody else is pretty much the same as Tennessee. Voluntary workouts started June 8th, I believe. June 7th. And, yeah, July, though, I believe it's allowed to get mandatory, I think.
Doesn't Vanderbilt get, like, more or less scholarships?
I don't think it's less. They just used to a lot. Now, I think, since Franklin was there, I think it's pretty much the same. But they used to just, I don't think, would fulfill the full 85.
Oh, gosh.
I don't think so.
I wonder why they're bad.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big thing when Franklin... I mean, that was why Franklin was able to...
I mean, I guess no wonder why they're bad. They're going to be bad regardless.
And they also have a tougher...
Doesn't admission. Help their case.
Yeah. And they also have a tougher admissions process and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, but... Yeah, they... I mean, Franklin had a lot to do with that. He lowered the standard, so to speak. And I think he got the scholarship number back up to where... it would be able to compete with the SEC. Again, I don't follow Vanderbilt closely enough to be able to tell you confidently, but the little I read when all that was going on, I believe it's something along those lines. So
gotcha.
The basketballs, though, are back on campus. So yeah. That's part
Vanderbilt's
of the SEC.
Vanderbilt's 13th in recruiting right now, in case you're wondering.
In the SEC?
Yeah, in the SEC.
Okay, I was gonna say that. That's not bad.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, in the SEC. Ole Miss is last. Oh, Kiffin getting a slow start.
Oh, yeah, they're struggling. Which they, I mean, they thought they kind of had a late push there for Vol commit this week, Hudson Wolf.
Yeah. Couldn't handle it.
No. Yeah, the basketball is over back on campus. So Tennessee's now got their three major athletic teams all back on campus. I guess not all, but at least the majority of the teams. So
yeah, the boys are back. The got the new kids on the block.
Yep.
The four guys, Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson, Corey Walker, and EJ Anasicki back on campus. Or not, I guess not back on campus. They're on campus. Yeah.
Officially.
They're
for here. The first time.
So. That's so there's no like conspiracy theories. Like they're on campus. They're on. It's nothing like JJ Peterson. They are here and ready to go to work. I do want to ask you this. So with this coming back, I'm super excited for next season. I think we all are, especially what happened last season. We're kind of ready to get to next year. So who are you most excited to see? It doesn't have to be a newcomer. But who are you most excited to see play next year?
Most excited.
Like it doesn't even have to be because they're going to be good. It can just be like, I want to see.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. I would, if I don't think it happens. I would like to see if Pons returns, see him kind of develop. I think he had times where his offensive play was so much better. I mean, when he, that little turnaround jumper from 8 feet, 10 feet is unstoppable. I'd love to see him kind of craft that game and, take advantage of mismatches because he's a constant mismatch. Are there going to be guys that can guard him well? Yeah, but he's a constant mismatch.
Oh, yeah.
I think for returner-wise, I think him. Newcomer, I know this kind of comes as a shock because he's not one of the highly rated guys, but I want to see EJ Anasicki because we needed a guy who was physical and a big body, and that's what he brings. And I'm excited to see how much he elevates the game. Not that the guard play couldn't improve. It could have, but that's where we really needed help. That would have changed our entire season had we had him last year.
And he's a friend of the pod.
Yeah.
Been on the pod. Yeah, I think for me, I'm excited to hear, to see Victor Bailey Jr.
Yep.
I've heard he is the real deal. And I know we can't, like, go off what the media says and everything because they said Jalen Johnson was the best player on the team for a while, too.
In fairness, the media didn't really say it. Well, they would interview players. Yeah. Like Grant Williams and Schofield. Schofield will tweet about it, and he stands by that statement.
Yeah. It's wild. But I heard he's the real deal, so I don't know if he'll even start next year. But I'm excited to see him actually in a Tennessee uniform and not sitting at the end of the bench.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he'll be a guy that I think can impact the game.
Probably newcomer. I've seen Jaden Springer play. I'm really excited to see him.
Yep.
But I think Keon Johnson is just going to take this team to a different level with his shooting capability. I know he went to that USA camp and just pretty much dominated the whole thing.
Yeah.
With all that top talent in the country. So I'm really excited about this whole class and everybody coming back. But I think Keon Johnson could be the key.
It's going to be very interesting to see how these minutes get managed between Josiah, Keon Johnson, Vescovi, and Jaden Springer. I mean, it's and then you add guy, you talk about guys who played a lot of minutes, which I think it was more by need, and that's Devontae Gaines. Victor Bailey, I'm sure, is going to be a guy that you got to consider at that spot. I mean,
I wonder if Gaines got bigger.
I hope. He's a great defensive player, too. He's got some things to fix on the offensive end, but as
he
far as
like
defense
me
goes,
in junior pro when I wore 50.
Yeah, exactly.
It just like
he needs a double digit number. He needs that.
He's zero, though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I feel like he would look good in 51. He needs a 51.
I couldn't pull it off. So I think he couldn't.
Or like a 55. He needs a big number. Yeah. Devontae Gaines needs a big number. I'm trying to think who I'm leaving off that list, though. But, yeah, I mean, it's the guard situation is going to be interesting. And then, I mean, yeah, you want Pons back, but I don't think Pons leaving is a disastrous situation. He was a lot on the defensive end in terms of rim protecting, but it's not – it's not a terrible loss if he does go. And he probably does go. I don't know. Why would you not go make money?
I don't know.
And does the NBA situation get, you know, different with these guys, with them starting so late and ending so late?
Yeah, I think with the talent in this class, I feel like if he doesn't improve, I feel like his best chance of getting drafted is probably this year.
Yeah. He, like I said, he probably goes. But how great would it be if you keep?
Yeah, just come back and be all SEC and then go.
I kind of forgot about Kumwa. I'd like to see if he improves, if he makes a big jump between his freshman and sophomore year. He showed flashes of some great basketball. Unfortunately, they were flashes. They were very quick.
The Uroš hype I was on, man, that...
Yeah, that was hurtful.
Yeah, I feel like I got cheated on. I got catfished.
I don't see him improving too much, man. I just don't see it possible.
Yeah.
P. Digits asked if we're excited for Arkansas. Playing them or team? I'm not excited for him. I mean...
Yeah.
Playing them...
I don't know if he's talking about football or basketball.
Or basketball. Because they should be pretty solid this year, too.
Yeah. They do lose... I think their top two players are gone.
Mason Jones. Is that his name?
Mason Jones.
Yeah, they lost him.
Thank God.
And he was pretty much their whole team by the time Tennessee played them. I'm excited to go play Arkansas because I think that sets up well for Tennessee's football schedule in terms of you have a chance to win another SEC game.
Yeah, I think with Arkansas, they're kind of transitioning into Sam Pittman. So when they're not like that 98 Arkansas team, like I think they could be just big and physical under Sam Pittman, I'm glad we get to play them this year.
Yeah,
I think they got a commitment this week from like a 6'8 dude.
I think
just a freaking monster.
I do think the new hires in the SEC West, that's Kiffin, Leach, and Sam Pittman, I don't think they're going to be very successful in terms of, I mean, I don't see those coaches being able to beat Orgeron,
Saban, Jimbo Fisher,
thank you, consistently. So I just don't know if they'll play in SEC championships, but I think they'll definitely make it interesting and get some upsets along the way.
Yeah, I think which one's going to be the bigger thorn in those other coaches' side? Is it going to be Kiffin because of his offense? Is it going to be Sam Pittman because he's physical? Is it going to be Mike Leach because it's high-powered offense?
I think Leach is going to make it. See, I just don't know how many games he wins, but I think he's going to make it very interesting for a lot of teams in terms of when you look at those, how to attack them, because I think he's going to score a lot of points.
See, I thought Kiffin would be the one that I thought would take off just because of I feel like he'd be able to recruit Memphis.
Yep.
And get a lot of those JUCO kids out of Mississippi.
So I guess the answer is Kiffin, because I think who wins the most games between those three against LSU, A&M, Auburn, and Alabama, I think Kiffin wins the most games
against I think he was in a lot better position. Like he like inherited a lot better program than definitely
Arkansas. And I think you could go either way on Mississippi State. But yeah, I'd take the Ole Miss squad over Mississippi State as well. So yeah, I think the answer is Kiffin. I think he wins more games between the top four.
I just don't think if Mike Leach isn't able to recruit.
Ole Miss also gets to play Vanderbilt every year. Mississippi State has to play.
Yes, we get that too.
Yeah, who's Mississippi State have to play? It's not South Carolina. It's A&M.
Kentucky.
I guess probably Kentucky. I'll see if I can figure it out real quick.
I don't know where I was going with that. I don't know what we're talking about. I just lost my train of thought.
Talking about the.
Oh, so I just don't. Mike Leach. I don't think if he's just recruiting a quarterback every year. And just, you know, trying to use that high-powered offense and, you know, not recruiting your offensive and defensive lines, I just don't see how he makes it. I mean, you could probably get away with that at Washington State and Texas Tech where it's, you know, first to 100.
Right.
But, you know, in this league, it just doesn't fly that way.
No, I mean, you're going to have to – because those defenses you play are going to make stops.
Yep.
So if you can't do that, and if you can't – and if you're just one-dimensional, and, yeah, if you've got a quarterback and wide receivers that are really good, you're going to be able to you're going to be able to make some plays and challenge some teams, but you won't be able to beat them consistently.
Right. Yeah, I'd probably pick Kiffin. But, dude, he's last in recruiting.
Yeah.
Right now, so – in a slow start, but dude, I like
where they finished 2020.
I like Sam Pittman's hires.
It is Kentucky. It is Mississippi State's non-rotating SEC opponent.
Kendall Briles and Barry Odom, that's two, like, good coordinators.
Yeah. Yeah.
To go and get. Especially, you know, we talked about the program the way that it was. Yeah, that's pretty impressive on his part.
No, absolutely.
And a guy that's never been a head coach before.
Yeah, that's a good little segue, too, into our next, I think.
They finished 80th. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was 34th.
That's not terrible for...
They're in 80th right now.
Yeah, that's bad. Is it Barry Odom that is? No, it can't be Barry Odom.
He's their defensive coordinator.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. I can get there. What is this? I'm trying to look at the...
Hall of Fame?
Yeah, the Hall of Fame. There was some... Who was the coach before Barry Odom at Missouri? Might have been him. That is on the... So, let's talk about the College Football Hall of Fame, though, because there's a couple Tennessee players, former players, up for the award. That's Al Wilson, Willie Gott, and Bobby Majors.
Bobby Majors.
So, it's an opportunity for some guys that are deserving of it. I believe this is, if I read the rules correctly, I believe this is Bobby Majors' last chance to get in the Hall of Fame, I believe, unless you can, you just have to be nominated
for it. Gary Pinkle?
So, it's either Pinkle or Barry Odom that are up for it. I can't remember which one now. I'll find it in a second. But I feel like Al Wilson probably, I don't know how many they take in the class, but I feel like Al Wilson's probably got a really good chance. I'm not sure about Willie Gault. And then, Bobby Majors.
I didn't know he was an Olympian or going to be an Olympian. He was going to be an Olympian, but that year, I think it was 1980 something.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. boycotted the Olympics. And so he played in the boycotted games.
Ah, okay. That was the West Germany games?
Yeah, he was going to be an Olympian. So, I mean, that's a heck of a resume.
Yeah, so Willie Gault, though, he was 1982 first-team All-American.
I think to be in this, you have to be a first-team All-American.
Correct? Yeah, and it has a certain, like, you can use, like, pretty much any outlet that's recognized by the AP poll, I believe. Mm. He set 6 conference and 12 school punt and kickoff return records. Tied NCAA record for most touchdowns by kick return in a single season.
Wow.
So I'd say he's got a pretty pretty good little resume there.
Played in the NFL for a long time.
Yeah. Too. And let's see. Where'd Al Wilson's go? Going to read off Al Wilson's. I think Al Wilson, was he a 3-time All-American? Maybe not first team, but.
That man's a freak.
See, he was All-American in 1998, obviously. 2-time All-SEC performer and 2 SEC titles. And he only lost 3 conference games in his entire career.
Whoa.
So, that's a pretty good resume.
They to Florida? 2 of them maybe to Florida?
They had to be, right?
So, who would have been the other one?
It wasn't in 97, I don't think. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not on Twitter right now if anybody's guessing. Anybody on YouTube got a good guess? See, on Facebook.
I don't remember.
Well, we'll pull it up in a minute, too, if we can.
But, yeah, I mean, Al Wilson is just a different animal. He's a freak, and probably the – I'll go on record in saying this, that he's the best linebacker to ever come through Tennessee. And probably one of the best linebackers to come through the SEC.
Right. And that may not be the 100% truth. I'm sure you could argue some other guys on that list, but Al Wilson's also going to be on that list.
Right. So.
Bobby Majors is the, he was a 71 unanimous first team All-American.
Should have won the Heisman.
Yeah, he won, that was Johnny Majors.
Is that not who you're talking about?
No, this is Bobby Majors. That's up for it.
Oh, Bobby Majors. Sorry. Bobby Majors. Sorry.
His younger brother. He was the 71, they won the 71 Sugar Bowl and 72 Liberty Bowl while he was here. He's first team All-SEC. He still holds conference and school records with 10 interceptions in 71. And he set Tennessee records for career punt returns and career punt return yardage. So, there you go. Bobby Majors. I think if I read the rules correctly, I think this is his last year that he could be inducted. So, I think that means he probably makes it kind of by default.
Okay.
Usually. I mean, that's not always the case. But, yeah, we'll see. And then some other guys that are on. These are not Tennessee guys that are – they're just notable. I'm sure there's plenty of notable guys. But Champ Bailey's on it. Eric – never going to say his name right. Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for Kansas City. Brandon Burlesworth is on the ballot. Tim Couch, Jack Del Rio made it on a ballot.
We're going like all 98.
Yeah. Let's see here. Dwight Freeney is on the ballot for the College Football Hall of Fame.
Played them in 98.
Where did he play?
Syracuse?
Syracuse, yeah, that's right. That's right. Let's see here. Marvin Harrison.
Hey. Yeah. Where did he go to college?
Syracuse. 95.
Okay.
Would have been his All-American year, so probably his junior
I knew he's up north because his son goes to he played Harrison Bailey when they played that team from Pennsylvania.
Gotcha. Sebastian Janikowski is on the ballot. Marvin Jones is on the ballot.
Them in 98.
Yeah. Ray Lewis is on it.
The U. Speaking of the U, Coach Dougs.
Yeah. Carson Palmer's on it. Julius Peppers. Anton Randell. Ron Rivera's on it. What about it? The old Riverboat. The old Riverboat gambler. let's see here. Barry Smith's on it. CJ Spiller. Darren Sproles. Sure, I'm forgetting some people, but I'm just scrolling through.
There's a lot of people on that.
Yeah, there are. And then there's some FBS coaches on it. Gary Pinkle was the Missouri coach. Okay. On it. And then Bob Stoops is eligible. So he'll get a chance to be in the College Football Hall of Fame. I imagine he's probably a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, probably. Probably, probably.
So you're talking about Coach Dougs. Let's go ahead and talk about some Dougs, some Duggerton.
Some Dougs.
Just SEC national or SEC title winner. Who did they even play? I did not watch.
LSU.
There you go. That had to hurt. They're big Edo fans. That had to be a bittersweet victory.
And they led the whole game. I mean, LSU hung around, but
is he getting better?
He's got the guy sitting next to him. I don't know what his name is. Mush.
Marty Mush. Is it Mush or is it what's that dude's name? Billy Football?
I don't know.
Young guy, blonde hair.
No.
Okay, it's probably Mush then, yeah.
But he's really good at the game. And so he's kind of coaching him what to do.
See, that's the thing, is if the guy was really good, it wouldn't be fun.
Yeah.
But I like that a guy that knows what he's doing is coaching the game.
Yeah, that's true.
That makes it more exciting. But
I think he promoted him to offensive coordinator. Or defensive coordinator, one of the two.
So two lost teams are playing for the national title. Miami's a two-loss team. Yeah. And Tennessee is a two-loss team.
Yeah, so Miami beat NC State because they were worried NC State was going to win and it was going to jump them because Navy was number one.
And Navy and Army both were in the top 10.
And Navy won.
So Navy's undefeated.
They've lost one game, but they...
And they got bumped by Miami?
Yep.
So NCAA hates the troops. You hate to see it.
Or EA Sports hates the troops.
Yeah, EA Sports.
Both of them do.
What did I say the first time? NCAA. Yeah. Sorry, I put that one on NCAA. My bad.
They probably
do hate the troops. That's probably a valid argument.
Yeah.
Doug, when is he playing the national championship?
Tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow night?
I think it's a late game. It's like 10:00.
Probably won't be watching. So, why is it on a Thursday at 10 p.m.?
I don't know. He's trying to get the Wisconsin job, man.
There you go. Yeah, he definitely played this season as fast as he could to get the Wisconsin job. So.
Yeah.
It's been a good ride, Dougs. And maybe Tennessee will be really good, though, after he leaves, and you'll get to see him, like, play in a national championship and beat Wisconsin.
Well, like, I want one of those shirts, but I'm like, I don't want to pay, like, $40 for a shirt. But if they win a national championship, they get a Doug's holding a national championship trophy, I'm probably going to buy that. Maybe. I'll probably buy that.
And it's not – is it the College Football Playoff in there, or is it the
– No, it's just BCS.
That's what I figured. Okay. I just didn't know if they were able to – I know they, like, downloaded updated – parts of the game and somebody
I'll stop watching because he lost two games. I was like, okay, well, there's no way. And then he was number one forever.
He played the game so fast I just couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there was that too. There's one day he played like three games.
Yeah. That's too much
for me. I don't even have time to play three games. Must be nice.
I'll say that, but I played plenty of FIFA lately. Back on my FIFA grind.
Okay.
It's been fun. Yeah. Fan question. Sorry.
Dude, I haven't plugged in my PlayStation in like 3 weeks.
It's not plugged in?
No, it's not.
Why do you keep it unplugged?
Well, like, I bought that Xbox 360. I plugged it in. And when I got rid of that, I just haven't plugged it back in.
Mm. Yeah, you used to grind it out on Warzone.
Yeah, I stopped being a nerd, man.
I haven't played a ton of video games lately, but I put in, I guess probably like the last two or three nights, I played at least a game or two of FIFA. So
I started focusing on my school, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Grades. No questions.
You know grades.
No questions at this time.
You're right.
Fan questions. Got any for me?
So those were the two that were... Okay.
We already got to him. We addressed him in the show. See, we just get it. We got a show that was ready for you all.
But if you have any more, feel free to drop them in.
YouTube real quick. Well, I guess let's get into segments then.
Let's do it.
Stupidity. Do stupidity first.
Okay.
Because full disclosure, I'm not ready for this Jumbotron. Can we skip this Jumbotron and do it next week? And then I'll have a good one for you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
So our Jumbotron, before we get into stupidity, I'll tell you since we're saving for next week. 30 for 30s you'd like to see.
Yeah. Did you watch the Sammy Sosa one?
I didn't get a chance to. But it is up on ESPN Plus. I'm going to have to go watch
it. It's really good.
Yeah.
It happened in 98, so.
Oh, nice.
Feels like 98.
Was it Sammy Sosa or Barry Bonds or both of them? It was just
Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was their home run race back in 98.
Gotcha. Stupidity.
Stupidity. I have a couple.
Do you?
I have one right here. So, Bob Nightingale, he's a writer. He says the hashtag Cubs draft Ed Howard. Yes, showing action instead of hollow words.
What does that mean?
So, like, he basically, like, they drafted a player in the MLB draft, 16 overall. And it's a kid from Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
And this guy tried to make it into a race thing because the dude's black.
Interesting.
And everybody just, like, ripped him.
Yeah, just let him have it.
Yeah,
good for him.
Like, yeah, no. Don't even hint at that. They picked him because he was a good baseball player. Right. Because he's black and from...
No one's going to waste a first-round pick on anybody for a social stance.
Yeah, I think, you know, being from Chicago, I feel like that's a better argument than just because he's black.
Right. Right. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said, more baseball here. He said he's not confident there'll be a 2020 baseball season. Unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen. 5 days ago, before he said that, this was on Monday. 5 days ago from Monday, so 7 days ago now, he said unequivocally, we are going to play Major League Baseball this year. He said 100% it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then 5 days later, he said he doesn't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I was literally, when we were watching the draft that night, right before you got to my house, he literally said that on television.
Yeah, what an idiot. Also, it looked like baseballs could, so that happened, probably not going to happen. Today, I think the Major League Baseball proposed where players would get paid 100% for the games played. Okay. So right now, they weren't getting paid full game salary. But now it looks like they're going to get paid full game salary. I think there's still a question about how many games are going
to
be played.
Yeah, somebody said that they're close to doing a deal, and then somebody came back and said that they're not close. So
yeah, yesterday, I believe it was said that the Players Association was not going to, after that, the last deal that the, before today that the MLB put out, they weren't even going to counter because apparently it was such a bad deal. Now it looks like there's a better deal on the table, so the Players Association may counter. That's what it looks like.
Oh my God.
Did you see Pat McAfee's interview with that former, what's up, Walstroff? With that former president for the Marlins, I can't remember his name, and he was talking about how,
Derek Jeter.
It wasn't Jeter. different ways that front office will like get rumors out there and see how fans will respond, see how other teams will respond. Like just admitted, admitted to just lying and pretty much like messing people's lives. It's kind of messed up.
That's not good.
You should watch it. It's stuff we kind of already knew that he just confirmed.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, it's stuff you assumed happened. Like, agents put out feelers by going, like, or trying to get more money by going, he's going to sign with the Giants. And he had no intention. He was going to sign with the Marlins the whole time just to try to get more money from the Marlins. Like, stuff like that.
God, I would not go to the Marlins.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Like I said, it's kind of stuff everybody knew, but it's someone confirming it on television.
Yeah.
That's... Pat actually calls him a scumbag. He's like, you're a scumbag. I don't know if he laughs it off and that's why he doesn't get much of a response, but he says it.
Speaking of scumbag.
Okay.
Mike Gundy is a scumbag.
I have so many issues with everything.
Dude, he was an ass before all this.
Can we also recognize that OAN is not a network? Like it's not. Also, everyone, all these people are like these snowflakes, blah blah blah, that, you know, don't want somebody to wear a shirt. If Jeremy Pruitt wore a CNN shirt, you would cancel your season? You would threaten. You wouldn't do it because you're a pussy. You would threaten to cancel your season tickets. Yeah, my coach doesn't wear a CNN shirt. So shut the hell up. Like, you would.
Yeah.
I know you would because you said it when he went to a freaking march.
Yeah.
That's so I know for a fact you would. So don't act like you guys aren't the snowflakes.
Yeah, I'm just like...
Also, can you talk? Can we talk about how...
First, it wasn't the shirt. It was like the fake apology. And then he made the Chuba Hubbard apologize? That was where I was just like...
Well, in fairness, the video looked awkward from the get-go, but then Hubbard sounds like... He sounds like... He didn't sound like he was being forced to say it originally. Like he,
right, but it was like, why are you apologizing?
Well, and I'll say this. I'm not saying he had to apologize, but I'm okay with him apologizing because what he apologized for was how he went about it. Right. I'm okay with that because you are part of a team.
But then, like, everybody made a big thing like, oh, this is fake, blah, blah, blah. And then Mike Gundy did another video.
Did he?
By himself. Yeah, by himself. Saying, you know, once I learned... This is the quote. Once I learned how that network felt about Black Lives Matter, I was disgusted and knew it was completely unacceptable to me. So why did you make the first video?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like they just, I don't know. They have no clue what's going on. Mike Gundy's just a moron. I don't like him.
Well, and then, oh God, what? Oh, did you see his team rules? I don't know if it ever confirmed him.
Oh, about the...
And like, I'm okay with... Probably two of them, but the other ones seem targeted towards a certain group.
Yeah.
Two of the rules I'm okay with. I mean, they are sensible. I don't have a problem with them.
Like hats and earrings.
Yeah.
There was sagging.
The no sagging policy I'm okay with. The no music that degrades women and cusses. I'm okay with that rule. But the other ones seem targeted towards a certain group.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, I just don't like Mike Gundy.
No. I'm glad Tennessee.
Maybe he's doing this for a raise. I don't know.
I'm glad Tennessee avoided that mess. That was good.
Yeah, I think we dodged a bullet there.
We got one question. Someone said, is Bailey going to win the starting job before Florida? Let us pray. I'm kind of with you, honestly. I kind of hope he wins it before Oklahoma. I don't see it happening. Could he win it before Florida? I'd say that's more likely if we're, you know, going to.
Yeah, I think if there's anybody to beat out JG, I think it's going to be Harrison Bailey. I'll start by saying that. I just don't think with the inconsistency we saw with Brian Maurer, he just did not look ready. And I don't know if a whole offseason, especially without spring practice, makes him an option. I think Harrison Bailey's going to have to win the job. And if he does it in fall camp, great. If he does it in Charlotte, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think Harrison Bailey's a talented kid, and if he doesn't start this year, he's going to start next year.
Yeah, I would agree with that, 100%.
Yep.
100%. You got anything else? Any more stupidities?
That's all I got, man.
Like I said, we're going to save the Jumbotron. Tell us what you'd want to, 30 for 30s you'd want to see on players, sports, games, events. Tell us what you'd want to see a 30 for 30 on. I definitely, after hearing Brian Williams, I'll tell you this. I'll give you a little one. I won't use it next week. One I'd like to hear is Brian Williams said he's got a lot of great stories about the Bruce Pearl era. I'd love a 30 for 30 on that.
I'd love to have vault tales about that.
Yeah, I would. Brian Williams, open invitation.
Yeah.
Open invitation. Anytime.
Hey, if you'd like to see some VFLs on vault tales, you go ahead and tag them.
Tag them.
And we'll set that up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, that's all I have for for this week or for tonight. We'll see you guys back. Won't be on Sunday. It's Father's Day. Landon's also traveling. I'll be out of town. So probably looking at a Monday episode. Don't know exact times. Maybe not Monday. We will have an episode for you next week. That's the point. Try to get two in as well. So we'll have plenty of content there for you. I'm sure stuff will happen. Probably have a short stuff. You can find that on YouTube and Facebook. We'll post links on Twitter so you can get there. We'll get to you guys though. We want to talk sports. We want to talk Tennessee sports. So we'll do it. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Facebook. Like Landon said, we're also on Twitter and Facebook, so you can follow. You can find us via the More Important Issues page. So.
Yep. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming in and listening to our stupid voices. like this, share it. Do what you got to do. Appreciate you all bringing the boat in, and we out.